This one's good if it goes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cow.
Are you kidding me?
Let's it go.
He can fry an egg on his head right now. I mean, the guy's sizzling.
I guess you got to hope for a dramatic 40.
Oh, boy.
Oh, they got it. Jones. Oh,
yes.
Courtside with Greenberg and Dukich, the definitive college basketball podcast.
Hey, welcome. It's the world's greatest podcast. I just beat Seth Greenberg to the punch of introducing this. He had taken a deep breath and he was getting ready to rock and roll. But that's all right. It's June 1st, or maybe it's whatever the hell day you want it to be that you're listening to this. It's Coach Izzo with Seth Greenberg and Dan Dukich. There's a couple things when you look at this picture. One thing doesn't belong with the other. Two guys are fired. One guy has a job. I'll let you figure that out. Two guys are bald. One guy has hair. I'll let you figure that out. Welcome, Coach Izzo. How are you? How you doing?
Danny, I'm good, you know, but the way this whole mess is going, you know, between COVID and transfers and NIL and then starting practice up in a week, I'm going to be with no hair pretty soon, too. So I'll be right with you guys.
Hey, he just rearranges it, Dan. I mean, you turn him around, he looks just like us now.
No,
so, I mean, don't let him fake out. He's just rearranging.
Not as bad. Yeah, I know the swoosh and the spray and the dust and the spray, you know.
It was, by the way, not. So, hey, Tom, June 1st, is this the craziest June 1st you've ever had?
Well, it is. You know, we don't actually have any kids coming in today. We've got them coming in. You know, the juniors now can take 5 visits as juniors, and then they can take 5 as seniors. Then they can take 5 more as transfers after they come for a year. So that's, hey, you guys should have kids because that's 15 honeymoons you guys could take over a 3-year period. I mean, it is crazy. We're coming off COVID. I don't know how it is where you guys are, but it's starting to lighten up a little. We were one of the worst states, but it's starting to lighten up a little here. I'm fully vaccinated, so, you know, been out and about. Campus is starting to look a little lively again, not necessarily with kids, but just, you know, getting the sprinklers going and all the things they didn't do for a lot of time. And we had an involuntary workout today with the weight room and getting ready. And then on the 7th, we'll start our full go, which I don't know what that'll be. You know, I'm not sure I want to scrimmage because if you scrimmage and there's a pecking order, you'll have 3 more transfers. So I don't know how I'm going to handle that, but I'm going to have some fun anyway.
Coach, you mentioned it, right? I mean, a lot of guys are thinking about not bringing their teams back because until, you know, middle of the summer, if not later, because of what you just said. That is a real thing for guys, right? I mean, if I don't like the situation in the summer, my ass is out of here and I'm somewhere else tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, you guys know I'm not a proponent of this. And yet somebody will say it'll hurt you in recruiting. And, you know, I think like Jay Wright, I just want guys that want to be here. I want guys that, you know, you can still push, you can still prod, you can still – The name of the game is getting better because nobody's good enough, or very few, maybe a LeBron, but there's so few guys that are good enough. And I think competition, you know, is what breeds you getting better. But I don't know how that's going to be now. You know, I've talked to guys that say there'll be no more trips to Italy and stuff because once you get a pecking order, will kids be bolting? And I mean, it is new territory, guys. I mean, I don't know how anybody's going to respond to any of this, but I'm going to try not to make it doom and gloom, but I don't think this is best, and I'll say it till I'm dead, for the kids. It looks best for the kids, but it's, you know, it's like I know how I came up. I think I know how you came up, Danny. Seth probably did have a silver spoon in his mouth, knowing him. East Coast guys, us Midwest guys, we had to work for everything. Although he was a Californian, he's been on both coasts. Yeah. But I really do think that if I had $5 million when I was 15 years old, probably wouldn't have turned out the same. You know, there is I just came back from Alabama. I went down to Alabama and Georgia with my football coach to look at facilities last Friday. And, you know, I know Nick really well, been to his facility a couple times, and they have some unbelievable things on the walls, pictures in it. But you walk in the building, the first thing is embrace the process. I told Nick, that's out the door now. You know, there can't be a process. You know, get that sign down, man. It'll hurt your recruiting. You know, it seems like we're missing the process a little bit. But maybe I'm overreacting, too. I guess only time will tell, and I'll adjust to whatever I have to adjust to.
Tom, you guys have a culture, though, that's different, all right? I mean, your guys expect to be coached hard. I mean, and I think that I look at your program, and tell me if I'm wrong, a little bit like way, way back in the day, University of Miami football, the guys that came before them held accountable to you guys. How much are you going to lean on your former players, their voices, and explain to your current players, this is who we are, and this is how we do things, and this is why we win, and this is why we get where we need to go?
A lot. You know, it's funny. I just talked to Steve Smith last night. I talked to Draymond two nights before. I'm going to get a big Zoom call with, you know, with our maybe eight pros that are in there now, or nine, and the former guys, a couple, you know, probably 10 or 12 guys. And I'm going to talk to them about what they think. You know, everybody looks at it differently. I hear Draymond saying one thing. I'm not sure Draymond would have, you know, it would have happened the same way, or like a Xavier Tillman, you know, or Valentine. With those guys that left and gone a couple places, I don't know, you know. I also talked to Cassius Winston the other day, and I said, man, I'm proud of you. Everybody's saying good things about you. And he says, yeah, but I'm not playing much. And we kind of laughed. I said, well, your freshman year, everybody was mad at me for not starting you, but you kind of learned through the process. I said, maybe it didn't help you then, but maybe it helps you now. And he says, you know, I probably right. I probably should hug and kiss you. I said, you probably should, come to think of it. But I think those things are valuable parts of this whole deal. And I mean, we're going to adjust. We're not going to totally change, because there is only a couple ways to be great. You know, I've always said to you, Danny, when you did games, you can win a lot of games with a lot of different players, but you can only win championships with people that have probably failed some. You know, you talk about fired, you know, you talk about that for you guys. I bet you it's made you better. I bet you it really has. You know, failing, you got to figure it out, and you adjust in different ways. And I think, I hope we don't lose the fact that failing can be the best teacher at times.
No, I agree. And you know, getting fired, in my case, I chose not to renew my contract, is what I'm saying officially. But yeah, I tell you this, it made me happier. I'll give you that one. Let me go with the former player thing. You get in that deal with Gabe Brown, and man, I mean like that. Draymond, Steve Smith, all the guys. Now look, coach, you've won championships, a bunch of million Final Fours, national championship. But seeing their reaction to that, as opposed to, you know, guys in the media's reaction, had to be one of the highlights of your career, because that showed real love for you and pride in the program.
Well, I really do. I mean, I you know, I said to all of them, you know, we had a thing here with a tough situation. We went through that Nassar deal that was, I mean, it was national news and negative national news. We came out of that, and Cassius loses his brother to a tragedy. And then at the end of that year, it was COVID. So the last 4 years have been a little different. What it's done is it's kind of kept players away a little bit. I mean, first of all, nobody could have players around for a year and a half of COVID. But before that, every time a player came here, they were getting a microphone stuck in them. So it's been a different 3.5, 4 years even here. And so I need to get that back, because culture is everything to me. Maybe it won't be in the years to come to the new coaches. But for me, and I told every one of those guys when I talked to them in the last couple of days, them coming back means more than a championship to me. And I do mean that. Those relationships, watching Draymond put his arm around Xavier after Xavier's team, you know, put Draymond out, was priceless. You know, listen to his comments. Those things are what makes me proud and me feel good, to be honest with you. And helps, because they're going to listen to them a lot more than me. You know, I mean, it'll be another 10 years before they're going to listen to me. Then they'll figure out that, hey, you know, he wasn't as dumb as I thought he was, you know, just like I thought about my parents. And don't laugh, Danny. Your boy thinks it about you, and your girl's thinking about you. So it doesn't change. You know, this is a universal thing. We're all so dumb when they're 17 to 25. We gradually get smarter.
Tom, you're part of a group of 10 coaches that are trying to help kind of navigate the world of college basketball. What do you guys try to get accomplished? Like, what's on your guys' agenda? Like, I know you had a call yesterday, we talked last night. Like, what type of things are you guys trying to address to set? I'm not saying save the game, but to give the game some direction. Because, well, let's face it, we've got obstacles. We've got obstacles, whether it's Portal, NIL, the NBA, Ignite, Overtime Elite. I mean, they're not all our allies. Like, what are you guys trying to do?
Well, it started over almost a year now. Last August, I think, we got a group together. It was called the NBA Ad Hoc Committee. Now it's changed to just kind of issues with college basketball. But, you know, there's some great guys on it. You know, Roy was on it, and Jim Boeheim, and Mike Krzyzewski, and Jay Wright, and Kel Perry, and Mark Few, and myself, and I'm probably missing Tubby Smith, Tommy Amaker, you know. And we tried to get a good balance of not only conferences, But most of it was BCS level. And Tommy, just because he played at this level and he's really, really good, he's done an incredible job on this committee. But we're just trying to figure out, as you say, navigating what is right. You know, right now we're trying to get a little bit more access time in the summer. We're always trying to get more coaches on the floor. Just to help during the summer, you know, when some of us are gone and that, and the access time because of COVID, because people haven't been together, because of the transfer rule, there's so much more teaching needs to be done. And we also want to help young coaches get into the game. And yet, man, sometimes you think we're asking for a new world. And that's hard for me to figure out. You know, the only thing I don't like, and I'll say this and get ripped for it, but you guys say a lot of things that you get ripped for, so mine is just going to be minuscule. I don't like when so many people that aren't in the basement with us are making the final decisions.
Oh,
and that is a difficult thing. I say all the time, you know, whether it's faculty reps or other people making decisions, when they pick a new faculty dean of a college, they never ask my opinion. But yet, vice versa, it's always that way. And it's beside me how anybody can think the transfer rule is going to improve graduation rates. I mean, Danny, you went to Indiana. I went to Northern Michigan. Where did you go, Seth?
Harvard on the Hackensack, Fairleigh Dickinson. Come on now.
I know. So if you and I transferred to Indiana, they wouldn't take any of our hours. If you transferred to Northern, they'd add a few hours. They'd take all of our hours. But, I mean, when you transfer, you guys know this. You don't take – everybody doesn't get the same hours in every school. I mean, I just think those are unintended consequences. That's my new favorite phrase. And I'm not ripping that. I'm just saying I just don't think it's been thought through. And the people making the decisions aren't the ones that are working on it every day. And Matt Painter, who – Danny, you know really well, has done an unbelievable job on one of the committees, the big committee. But I think of 40 people, we have one coach on the committee. And so he's not getting a lot of votes. So it's a difficult situation. I don't know what the right answer is, but I do think people that are making decisions should be in the basement. I'd like to have them come on a recruiting trip to Vegas and try to get around there with us and understand why you might need more coaches or more things. It just doesn't happen. I took my AD once and my compliance officer, and I took them privately, and we went to Augusta, which is the Cadillac of summer programs. They were worn out after the second day. I said, you haven't done nothing. We're in the same facility. You haven't moved. You flew privately. You know, come to Vegas, take the red eye to Orlando, you know. I don't think people really get a chance to understand what we do. We just make too much money and play golf all summer, I think is what we do.
My issue, and you probably have the same thing, both you guys, Seth and I have talked about this, is every kid that I talked to years later that played for me as a transfer, or a few of the kids that, you know, when they transfer away, some have called me and we've talked, they always say the year they sat out was the best year of their college career. They got stronger. They learned how to work. Their academics were totally in order. And if you're not, you can be on TV and be a former player or whatever and say these things, but I say that it's all good for kids to transfer, but the reality is totally different, particularly 10 years after. You know, you're away from it, the more, as you just said, you look back and you go, whoa, wait a second here, I think.
Well, you look at Baylor and Mark Few says that he had one this year that didn't sit out, but most of his kids have sat out. Baylor, almost all those kids sat out. They're bigger, they're stronger, but maybe they have a better appreciation, you know.
Right.
The system gets you. The AU system, I mean, it's not happy here, move here, not do this, move there. Got to start. When do you fail? I mean, we've all failed a lot, you know. We really have. And you can say some more than others and this and that. Let me tell you something. We all failed a lot. I know all of our steps to getting to where we wanted to get, and whether it's in TV, whether it's in coaching, whether it's in life in general. And I think we're trying to make it so these kids never fail. Then when they do hit the real world, the mental health is going to get worse, if you ask me. But my opinion is probably going to hurt me in recruiting.
No, this is I've said this, Coach. We're the only society in the world that doesn't value age and experience. We give what 18 to 22-year-olds or 15 to 20-year-olds care, and we don't listen to guys that have actually done. We're the only society. I mean, in other societies, people that have experience and age are revered. You know, in our society, particularly in this industry, it's like, oh, man, we got to cater to 18 to 23. That's a bunch of crap. But, hey, it is what it is. And you're in a position where, as you said, you adjust, I suppose. But the mental health thing, Seth and I have talked about numerous times. It's so underplayed right now, I think.
Yeah, and we create some of it because we never teach them how to deal with things. It's if there's a problem, leave. You know, like I said, I played football even a little bit in college, but in high school a lot. And every football, you know, down in Sabins, when the going gets tough, the tough get going, you know. I told you, when the going gets tough, get the hell out of Dodge. You know, it's just a different philosophy. And it's going to work for some. There's always going to be some. There's quarterback at Ohio State. How much roadkill is there going to be on the number of kids it doesn't work for? I mean, what do we have, 1,600 or more in the portal? There'll be a lot more coming as kids decide not to go pro. They'll transfer, I think. But as of last week, there were only 800 and some that had a spot. So there's a lot of places that don't have a spot. And if they're going, are they going to go somewhere? And then they pick up somebody else. And then, I mean, it's really – I just think it's opened up a box that is going to hurt the kids. The programs are going to adjust, guys. You know, by next year, we're going to be saying, if you're not happy, I'll find somebody in the portal that's older, better, and stronger, especially in football, you know. And eventually, I think it's going to – I've sworn this whole time, we talk about, well, it's going to hurt the program. And then there's guys in our industry that are saying the program makes too much money. It's going to hurt the coach. The coach makes too much money. I say it's going to hurt the kids because we're not teaching them what they need to learn to survive the next 60 years. And I think that's where only time's going to tell that story. But there's going to be a lot of roadkill on the way, a lot of guys that I think miss out, my personal opinion.
There are going to be guys that are in the portal that don't have a place to land. There are going to be high school seniors that will be recruited that won't be recruited because people are going to go in the portal, which people don't understand. The kids that are transfer and eligible immediately are not going to use that year to get ahead academically, so fewer guys are going to graduate. I mean, there's all kinds of consequences that people don't look. What do you think of this whole, and this is my opinion, I'm interested in what you guys think. The overtime elite, Team Ignite, that's creating a scenario where, you know what, the next level is just, you know, it's I always call it the most exclusive club. And I think you're going to have a not a generation, but a couple of years worth of players like when you're in junior high school, there's no idea if you're going to be a pro or not, that are going to chase this dream, and that's great. But where do they go back to? And 10 years from now, those things are no longer in existence. What are they going to be a part of? Is that something you have to talk to kids about? I mean, those are two more obstacles now in recruiting, right?
Well, you know, Matt Painter said that after losing a couple kids, you know, where do those kids come back to? You know, if they transfer to three different schools and then you need help from your university, I mean, is Matt Ishbia going to hire a kid who transferred here three times, or is Dan Gilbert, or is this guy or that guy, and Indiana alums, and, you know, are they going to try to help those people? I mean, I think as coaches, kid transfers, we're still going to try to help them. But is it going to be the same love and obligation? I don't know. I don't know where they come back to. Where do they go back to a reunion? Well, let's see. I spent 8 months here, 2 years here, a year here. I think more unintended consequences, you know. But I don't know, you know. I don't know if we'll ever have, for me, Draymond stayed 4 years, okay? It hasn't turned out so bad for him. Xavier Tillman is working out. You know, I had Jaren Jackson, who only was here 1 year. Some kids are a little more mature, too, you know. But I think this pressure of feeling you got to get out in a year or two, and what is those leagues going to do? I think the one thing we've really done is devalued education. We devalued it to the lowest denominator. And someone will say, well, education's not for anybody. You know, Danny, you get a kick out of this. I'll talk to a kid, and he'll come in, and he's thinking about, you know, going pro. And I said, are you ready for that? And, well, coach, you know, I really don't like school. You know what I do? I jump out of this chair. I go and hug him. I said, you're more like me than you thought. I hated school. Who likes school? You know, if you like school, there's something wrong with you. Okay, that'd be like liking spinach, you know. Who likes spinach, you know? Anything that's good for you, you know, you don't like. But it's very important in the big picture. And there's so many things I don't like. I didn't like working for my dad at 12 years old, you know. I think it gave me the work ethic that has now helped me go through life like it is. So I really struggle with this fact that you never should feel that you're failing. You know, I think failing is a great motivator to success. I really do.
You're preaching to the choir here. The devaluing of education drives me nuts, you know, and that leads me to the NIL, which I'm cool with. I've always been cool. Hey, you want to make money, make money. But the thing that I think is really funny on it, when people, well, all you do is get a free education. Wait a second now. My brother slept in the top bunk. He had to go work at Scotland Foods at 5 in the morning. He had to wake up at 3:30, and I was in the bottom bunk with a scholarship to Indiana. And I used to say, man, you should have practiced more. And he would punch me every morning. I got punched, and I couldn't wait. Boom! Like, all right, go to work. The devaluing of an education drives me nuts. I'm for everybody making money. But damn, that education is pretty important, particularly given that a lot of dudes out there on your campus or in my own family have student loans, man.
I just had a manager, Danny. $120,000 student loan. I'm trying to help him. $120,000. You know, I'm out of that world. Judd Heathcote, my old boss, and probably a favorite of both of yours in a lot of ways, because he tell it like it is, like you two guys do. But Judd Heathcote used to say, when I got the job, I said, Coach, we got to get better summer jobs, because there were a couple schools in our area that were killing us in recruiting with summer jobs, you know. And I said, he says, well, you know, he's arguing. I said, I'll go out and get them. Let me get some summer jobs. And so I found a couple, you know, and he says, they better be jobs. They're working, not turning on the sprinklers. You know, yeah, okay, great. Then he said to me, you know what? Your summer job thing is, how much can they make? You know, maybe you're hoping to get $15 an hour back then, which would have been a great summer job. And you work 40 hours a week and you make a couple thousand dollars for the summer, right? And he says, the summer job should be to work on your game. Because if you can go to the NBA, you can go to Europe, you can go somewhere, you can work on your degree, you're sacrificed now for what you get later. That's why all of us were GAs at one time. You sacrificed to what you could get later. it's worked out pretty good for all of us. It's almost like now the next thing that'll happen is coaches will come in and they'll want my job before they're a GA, an assistant coach, an associate head coach. And the process doesn't work that way. You know, I can't go be president of some major company. You know, it's just not going to work that way. You know, there's a process. And I think that's what bothers me most when I see what's happening. I'm all for guys making money too. My worry is, it seems like, and I don't know the NIL like some people, it seems like you're going to make money if some on Twitter or on, you know, social media, let's say. So now are our guys going to be doing that at night instead of working on their jump shot? Are going to be doing that on the weekends and still working on their academics? You know, I said there were three aspects of college, the social aspect, the athletic aspect, and the academic aspect. I said, pick two of the three because you ain't going to be good at all three. And you got to be eligible. Now we got the social aspect, the athletic aspect, the academic aspect, and the financial aspect. So now how many are you going to pick? And most kids are going to pick the financial over the other three because it's immediate. And then I don't know what you're going to have in the end. So my critics that argue it, that think I'm not for the kids, if anybody thinks that, that's going to recruit against me after this podcast, God bless you. That's a joke. You know, I've spent more time with our kids than most. And I care about how they get there. But I do think that this is going to really hurt the kids in the long run. The hell with me, the hell with the programs.
Coach, I would say, now this is just me, but if somebody came in to Andrew or whatever and started talking about, wow, you know, this is great, we're going to make you all this money, I think I'd kick his ass out of our house. I'd say, hey, man, that's great. Tell your story walking. I got Brown's Chicken t-shirt on. Go Brown's Chicken. You know, I mean, get out of here. Go eat. I mean, get, you know, what? Get out. Go. Get out of here.
I just never saw many free passes in my 20 years. You know, I've never seen any of these free passes. And maybe I'm old school or maybe I'm right school. We're going to see. But I still
– Yeah, Tom, like everyone talks about NIL as influencers, quote, unquote. Everyone can't be an influencer. You get money. There's not an endless stream of money. There'll be a couple people. You got to make a choice, though. You want to be an influencer or you want to be a player? Do you want to be an influencer or you want to be a graduate? Do you want to be an influencer or do you want to be a teammate and be part of something? You know, look, NIL is here, but if guys spend more time on their quote unquote brand and less time on the things that they want as their career, because I'll tell you one thing, once they take Michigan State off their jersey, if they're not pros, all right, once they take it off their shirt, like the Browns chicken, once you take it off your shirt, they're just another dude.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. People got to understand, what are you going to invest your time in? You invest your time in your academics. You invest your time in your game. Are you gonna ask coach? You know, coach, I got a chance for an appearance at the supermarket. What time's practice gonna end? Are you gonna be running out of practice, not getting up extra shots, or spending time with your team or the team meal to run out to make $500, which, you know, someone is a lot of money, but as opposed to investing in what your real career is going to be, because there's going to be a time all that influencer stuff. First of all, it's not for everyone. It's just the way it is. There's not money. Like everyone goes, well, this person can make, not everyone on your team is going to make money. Very few people on your team are going to make money. Cassius Winston might have made money. I mean, you know, you'll have some outliers, but I mean, the reality is everyone thinks that they pick the highest one. Like, oh, well, that guy could make this. Yeah. But what about the rest of those dudes? So they're going to spend all their time trying to build their brand. How about be a good human player? Be a good human being. Be a good student. Put yourself a chance to graduate.
You know what kills me? I thought you had to get a game, and then the game brought you your brand. Now you have a brand, and you think that the game is going to live up to the brand. I mean, that's part of the problem. We're more worried about branding than playing. We're more worried about what we want to be instead of what we got to create. You know, I think it's ass backwards, to be honest with you. I think there should be, you work to develop your reputation. You work to develop your brand. It's almost like now your brand and your reputation should be given, and then you work whatever way you want to work. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. But maybe I'm backwards. You know, I'm from the UP. You never know what's going on up there.
Two things. Seth, if I took this Browns chicken T-shirt off, people would throw up all across the country that looked at this, because there ain't nothing underneath this big boy.
Please keep that shirt on. Please keep that shirt on. Hey,
I'd be holding the visual pollution signs up.
Tom, last thing, schedule next year. How do you obviously, scheduling COVID was, I call you up and say, what are you doing Tuesday? Let's play a game. All right? How different is scheduling next year? MTEs, traveling, things like that. Are you guys right now full systems go?
Well, it is, but the only game I know we're playing, you know, the ACC Big Ten Challenge hasn't been decided. We've got a lot of games that we're automatically in, you know, the Tournament of Champions. We are playing Kansas, but I should have waited to the end of the year because they just picked up Remy, what's his name, from Arizona, you know. There are going to be guys picking up guys in August before we're done. And so I don't know who we're playing. I know that, there's probably a chance to play Duke in the ACC Big Ten Challenge. The Gavitt games, I don't know who we're going to play. We're down in the Bahamas. That thing's loaded. So it's going to be another great schedule. I don't think our league will be quite as good. I mean, I don't know how it can be. But then again, does anybody know who's transferred in? Some of those people are going to be successful. Some of them, it's going to hurt their team. You know, only time will tell. I would hate to be you guys trying to figure out who's ranked in the top 20. I think Fairfield and Northern Michigan have a chance because I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows who's going to be where, you know.
Here's my file right here that I'm usually working on right about now, messing around with rosters. It's about 5 pages. I haven't done crap. I mean, like, start in June, I'm kind of tinkering around, watching some teams. I don't know who to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you watch them, you won't know who they got. And I guess change is hard, you know, and people will say, you know, we're old school. We don't want it. Hey, listen, I'll make any adjustment you can make that makes the game better and makes the players better. But somebody's going to have to sell me a lot more than what they've sold me on how this is going to benefit. And by the way, I would end it for me by saying, you know, we talk about it's not fair that football and basketball have to sit out, but a lot of other sports don't. Well, let's make them all sit out. You know, is that going to benefit if we really looking at education? We already know in basketball, so few guys that have transferred have ever made it to the NBA, even gotten drafted. I want to say it's a couple. There'll be a few more now, but most guys in basketball, if they're not good enough after 1 year, probably not going to the NBA, you know, if they're into transferring for that reason. So a lot's got to be proven to me to see, but I'm along for the ride, at least right now. I'm afraid you're going to see guys, did Roy Williams, Lon Kruger, did they get out because of this mess? That's up for speculation, but I got a feeling you're going to see a lot more people getting out because you just hit the nail on the head. We are now full boat recruiting in June. We're on the road at the end of June and July. You know, we'll be having unofficial visits in August. Is there ever going to be any time to relax and do things? Are we going to be constantly recruiting our own kids? You know, and man, that'd be like having a girlfriend and you got to constantly bring her roses every day. You know, it gets old after a while, you know. I know you two still give your wives roses. I quit doing that, but I understand you guys probably still do.
Hey, Lee, did the roses come today? Hey.
She said, hell no.
Let's be honest. Snoopy hopes you stay downstairs and don't come upstairs. You don't bring roses.
Yeah, that was the greatest 11 days she's had.
I got.
She left your food at the door, and she was done with you.
Bottom of the steps. She didn't come down.
I thought you told me once you were putting one of those shields in the middle of your bed.
No, she did that. Yeah. What happened, Danny, is they, you know, I got it and she didn't. They said, how could your wife not get it? I said, well, when you go to the grocery stores, they got those shields up. My wife put one of them up 2 years ago. She was ahead of her time. Hey, now you just gave your wife a reason to do that. So you got yourself in trouble.
Lee, get out of here. Come on, go. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Be like his players. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to that guy.
Hey, Ace, thanks so much for doing this, man.
Hey, guys, I appreciate both of you. You guys are great for the game. I hope people listen to you. I know you're both crazy. So am I. But crazy people that work as hard as I think all three of us work, there's good things that'll happen. Let's hope that it happens for both of you. And we'll see what this year brings. I think we're going to have a pretty good team. But you never know. Hey, there's still a month left in the transfer rule. Who knows? You know?
Thanks, boss.
Thank you, guys, man. Danny, tell your wife, give her my number. I'll give her some pointers for you.
The roses! Mom, the roses!
Hey, you better send me one of those shirts, too. I might be eating chicken before the summer's over.
There you go, baby.
All right, guys. Take care, guys.
You ever go to Brown's Chicken?
No, but when I go to Indianapolis next, I'm going to go to Brown's Chicken.
Northwest Indiana's finest up there. Yes, sir.
Hey, I'm going to go to Brown's Chicken. I'm going to tell them put it on your tab.
You can do that at Coney King, 51st and Broadway, Gary, Indiana. We'll take care of you. Buy 8, right. Get 13. Figure that math out. But all right. Hey, big boy, you got that file. Last thing before I let you go, or before we go, what ultimately is going – let's make a prediction right now. Is there 3 years from now, are the rules going to be the same for transfers as they are right now?
Yeah, they're not going back.
Never going back.
I think once the rules change like that, they're not going back. I think they'll have to learn to adjust. But
okay. 3 years from now, will the NIL have made money for over 50% of college basketball Division I players?
No.
No,
because first of all, if you're Division I basketball players, the guys at at Hartford and American, and you're saying half of their team, you're saying I'll give you a better one. Will they make money on 50% of the guys at Indiana?
I'm gonna say yes, and making money is a kid will run a camp in his hometown, something like that. Yeah.
All right, 10,000,
but not
over 10,000 a year.
Under, I mean, will anybody make $1 million in a year?
Maybe a football player that's come back that has a brand. I don't. You know, I don't know enough about the finances of influencers.
Yeah,
you know, I mean,
they make a lot of money.
But I don't think. I mean, like Zion Williamson would have, not at the beginning, but eventually. I mean, like, you know, I don't think at the beginning, but eventually. I mean, you know, guys will evolve as the season goes along. If someone really liked him, like Trey Young, as he emerged, how much what did he make? They weren't winning, though, really big. Like, here's the thing. No major corporation is risking their brand on an 18-year-old on a college campus unless – it's really unique.
I agree. A year from now, will the whole NIL thing be settled and every school in Division I, let's say Power 5, will have a plan?
Yeah, I think so.
I think this has got to
put an end to it for no other reason because of this overtime thing and the G League Ignite. They can put some of that to rest. Here's my thing is I get a better one. Overtime elite that's making all these promises, will they be in existence 10 years from now?
No.
And then where are those kids going to, we're old, we're going to be up or back, where are they going to go back to? What are they going to be playing?
Nowhere. I mean, well, whatever they can get done. I mean, nowhere basketball-wise unless, But I don't
buy that.
Will what?
Will the NBA buy that organization? Like my thing is, the people that have invested in that are pretty smart people. I don't think they're investing if this is going to get a return immediately. I think they're invested it to name me one semi-pro league that's ever made it. That's not affiliated with a major league. I don't know.
The only league that I know that made it was the ABA, and it made it for 6 or 7 teams that got incorporated to the NBA.
But that was right? A professional league.
No, I know. That's the only challenger to college or professional sports that, and that was only 7 teams, I think, maybe 8, wasn't the entire league. So no, I agree. Yeah. All right, brother. Great stuff with Coach Izzo.
World's greatest podcast, never disappoints. Thank you, Coach Izzo. You're tremendous.
Thanks for listening to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage. Check out more great podcasts from ESPN on the ESPN app or wherever you listen to podcasts.